Lorraine, it's always a pleasure to see you. All this time I thought that you were a psychic, but you're an astrologer, huh?
Right. I'm an astrologer, and I specialize in gambling astrology. That's finding the times to win.
Well, good. I'll have to talk to you about that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I understand, actually, it's worked pretty well for yourself.
Oh, yes.
Don't you have a car that you won?
Well, actually, I put $5 in the machine. Within 10 minutes, I had $20,000 on there, cashed out, and took the money and paid cash for the little car.
Well, it's a pretty good testimony. I'm impressed. They can go over there to your new website. It's about cruises, right?
Right. We have workshopcruises.com. And four cruises are lined up already for us, two in September and two in October.
Well, you ought to hold seminars here in Las Vegas and teach people when the time to gamble. I guess, do you do personal services like that? If somebody called you up or wrote you an email, or is that illegal or what?
No, I don't do it anymore. I used to do it, but it got scary because I did it for mostly high rollers, and they got demanding, and then... you know, they would take a plane from New York and they would call me and say, I'm going to be in Las Vegas in 6 hours. I want my wind chart. And if I didn't have time to do it or you know, I couldn't find time to do it, it takes hours and hours, it got scary. And then if I did do it and they came, I had to say my prayers that they would win on time. But they always came back with big tips, so they all won.
Well, that's good. That's good.
and I still have my fingers.
Yes. And as far as we know, you're okay with the casinos. No pictures posted anyplace.
Oh, well, I have my pictures on the Gamblers Hall of or Wall of Fame here and there. Yes, okay. I do win. I win big, but I play big. You know,
well,
so they know me.
Well, you wait to. How does that work? You read your own chart and go do it, or what?
Yes, but I don't over abuse it. I'll take $5 and get it up to $100 or a few hundred dollars a day. And
what are you doing this on the slot machine? Or are you playing on the tables or what?
No, not on the tables, because you waste your time on the tables, because you only have you can only win so many times per day, and then it comes in little 4 minute spurts. So at the tables, you might waste your time waiting all day for that perfect win time, and then you find a dealer's making change or switching dealers, shuffling. Right.
You miss the whole thing. Plus, you're betting $2, $5, $10. All of a sudden, you bet $10,000. I might notice.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't over abuse it. I just. I play lightly. I don't take more than $5 to $20 a day, and I pick my times. Like today, I have 6 o'clock and 6:44. Oh, you can be a witness at 6:44.
You're right. 6:44. We'll try, because we're going to have dinner to over at Arizona Charlie's.
Right.
Rod Davis is here with us, and Rod, come along and watch her.
Since we're gonna meet there at 6, I can play my 5:56 to 6 before you get there.
Okay, well, we'll be looking for you, and you'll come in with a smile.
All right.
Now, what about the cruises? Let's talk about those for a moment. What happens here, and how do they find out about them and all?
Okay, they can go to the website www.workshopcruises.com, and we have four cruises presently listed. The first one is September 11th. They're all 7 days, and they're all 3 days at sea. So the workshops will be on the 3 days at sea, and we've got a really good rate. It's $1,299, including airfare and balcony cabins. All your taxes, port fees, transfers, they're all included.
And, of course, those cruises leave from the Caribbean. Lorraine, I thought it was kind of interesting that this English TV show decided to contact you to test out their dream machine. Can you tell us a little bit about that, the dream machine? That's interesting.
So I was supposed to sleep on this pillow that attached to the dream box for 5 days until Monday, November 22nd, at which time we were going to film. And I had no idea of what we were going to film, but I didn't sleep much. I never sleep much. I slept an hour here, 2 hours there.
Well, that was the first thought when you talked to me about the dream machine. I said, well, my God, this woman never sleeps. I get emails from her at 4 o'clock in the morning.
All right. I stay up 20, 30, 40 hours before I'll sleep.
How do you function that well? I mean, and you're always fresh. You don't really get, I get buzzed out. What is it, a mental problem that I have? I don't approach it right or what?
I don't know. Well, I think even Einstein says you don't need more than 2 hours of sleep a day. But then, of course, he died when he was 29, didn't he? But anyway, Moon and Gemini people don't need to sleep more than 2 hours a day. And I know quite a few of them, Moon and Gemini. Sandy, my partner Sandy, she has Moon and Gemini. She kept up with my schedule.
Oh, I know, both of you. When Rod Davis introduced me to you over at the Palms, the in place here in Las Vegas, and you guys were talking about what all you were doing, you guys were talking about planning on doing things that, you weren't going to sleep at all at night.
All right, now.
And you weren't going to play, you were going to be working.
I was up yesterday for like 40-some hours, and then I slept an hour before I had to do my radio show yesterday. And then this morning I slept a couple hours.
Let's talk a little bit more about this dream machine. You have this pillow.
It was like a little plastic pillow with a terry cloth cover, and it had a long wire. And the wire plugged into the little dream box, which was about, a couple inches high, 3 inches wide. It's like a little big, bigger than a business card, but it was a silver box, and it had a flip switch on it with a green light to let me know when it was on. So I plugged my wire into it. I slept on the pillow the times I did sleep, and then I was to, the instructions were to write down my dreams. And it was really strange because that week I didn't dream as much as I usually do. Like when you don't sleep much.
It takes a couple of hours, I think, to get into the dream mode.
Well, maybe I don't not. Know, no, because I only sleep 1 or 2 hours here and there, but and I do have full dreams. I have a story with my dreams. Well, these dreams that week didn't have a story attached to them. They were just things I saw. And so I wrote down everything in my dream journal, what I had seen, and some were just flashes of things. And so I wrote it down. A couple things didn't move, and twice I saw black and white dreams. I just saw white buildings with a black sky, and I saw black binoculars with a gray background. And so I wrote everything in the dream journal, and then that night we had a get-together and a party at the Bourbon Street for all the presenters that were here that week, and I had to leave the party early. I think it was 8:30 because I had to do the filming at 9. So they put me in makeup from 9 to 9:30. There was a crew of 15 people. My friends who dropped me off were kind of afraid. This was all so secretive. You know, kind of afraid to leave me there. We didn't know. I was afraid to sleep on the dream pillow the first night, I'll tell you. I skipped my first hour of sleep. I didn't even sleep on it because I got to thinking, well, what if this is a way to pull my dreams out of me or mind control me or something? Because I didn't know these people, you know. And I searched the internet for Robert Frawley's name, but I was spelling it wrong. I was using a different name, so I couldn't find out about him. If I had the right name, I would have read about him. He was from England, and the production company was Tidal Wave Productions from England. And there was a crew of about 15 people, and they had very professional cameras, just like you see behind the scenes in the movies and the TV. And well, these cameras were focused on me. I didn't even meet him until filming time. I didn't talk to him at all. I wasn't allowed to show him or anybody my dream journal. And so makeup was done at 9:30. So we filmed from 9:30 until 11:45. So that was more than 2.5 hours that they did the filming. And it was nonstop. They only stopped a couple times to repeat something, you know, for a few seconds or a minute. And so he came into the room, introduced himself as Robert Frawley. He was very young, I'd say middle 20s, but then the people from England look younger than they are. But he looked middle 20s. And he was really good looking.
I never thought about them looking younger than they are, but I'm going to start observing them.
Well, everybody, the girl who did my makeup, I think her name was Sarah May. She looked about middle 20s, and she was, I think she was 45. And then the girl Ann that I had talked to so many times about, the one who lined up all my appointments to give me the dream machine and get me over to the filming, I thought she was about 18 or 20 years old. She said she was 36. They must have...
we're going to have to start bottling that water.
Yeah. So anyway, Robert Frawley was very polite. Well, all those people there were very polite. When I was leaving, they all introduced themselves. They all said that was a great show, and they were honored to meet me, and I felt like a movie star or something, you know. It was just really neat. But they were all very professional, very polite, as people from England are. They're overly polite, you know. We're not used to that here. But anyway, Robert Frawley was very good-looking, dressed very nice, very polite, very intelligent. I could tell that. And what he did was he talked to me first about the metaphysical magazine that I've had for 25 years, the Esoteric World News. And he talked a little bit about the cruises and the conventions and things that I plan to do. And that's the time when he told me why he chose me, because he checked up on me and checked with people I had known. He knew so much about me, and he told it in that interview that he read about me on the internet and every place. I had published a lot of books too, and I was a printer for many years. And I guess he read some of my magazines, but my magazines were before his time. So what he did was he got a hold of some of them, and he read about me, and then he visited or checked with people who I had mentioned in articles that I'd known, and checked with them to find out more about me, to find out if I was the right person. It sounds like that's why they chose me, because I knew a lot of metaphysical people, and he didn't hear anything bad about me.
Now, did he get the dreams right? The dream right. machine did the right
thing? Right, and this was the first prototype, and I was the first person to test it. And so that was kind of an honor. So what he did was then he plugged in a wire that had four patches, two to his forehead and two to his temples. And then the other end of the wire was plugged into the same dream machine I had used. Of course, my pillow wasn't plugged into that little hole then. And what he did was he just kept his eyes open, and he looked right at me or around the room with his eyes open, and he read off all my dreams in the order that I wrote them down, that I had them. And he even told more about what was in my dreams than I had written down. This was for real. This was amazing.
So is this his invention, or do you know?
Yes. No, it's his invention. He told me how he came to invent it. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that. I'm still waiting for word from him.
We don't want to get you in too much trouble, but, right, but just a little.
Well, he said he wouldn't mind if I publicized it. He doesn't really know what the good uses are for this machine. He asked me... on the interview that's going to be played on Channel 4 in England, and I'm supposed to get a copy of it. It's going to be a documentary about the Dream Machine, so he does want to publicize it. But my thoughts were that it could be used for people who are in traumatic situations, that are afraid to go to sleep, who are afraid of their dreams. Maybe they don't remember their dreams. They don't want to remember their dreams. They don't want to go to sleep because they're afraid of their dreams. But if they could sleep on the dream pillow, then he or someone could plug in to find out what it is they're dreaming about and maybe help those kind of people.
Yeah, you got a good point, a good idea there. Our time's almost up, but, you know, let's plug your radio show. You do a pretty good job. In fact, you do a real good job.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it started up again on Fridays, 4 o'clock, 4 to 5 p.m., and it's at alltalkspectrum.net.
alltalkspectrum.net.
Right, that's a new metaphysical channel. And it was alltalkradio.net. I still have 50-some archives on alltalkradio.net, but now my new show is on alltalkspectrum, spectrum.net. And then they could search for The Unconventional, and the archives will be on there forever, I hope.
So mainly you're going to be concentrating on going on these cruises and going down to, we'll watch you with your system. You got 4 minutes, you say, a 4 minute window today to win?
Yes, it's 5:56 to 6 o'clock and 6:40 to 6:44.
And your sign is what?
I'm a Gemini. I have five planets in Gemini, June 12th.
June 12th, okay. I'm Sagittarian, I don't know.
Oh, you're a world traveler and a salesman.
Well, I've been told that before.
Okay, thank you for having me.